scene and dramatically proclaims to Ahab that there is going to be a famine in the land. This proclamation did not happen in a vacuum. It was only about 60 years since King Solomon had reigned in the land. And in that intervening 60 years, which doesn't seem that long to some of us, the land of Israel had been divided in two between Judah and Israel. And in the nation of Israel, there had been seven kings, with Ahab being the last of those seven. And each one of those seven kings was an evil king. Each one of them was taking the word of God and slowly on moving the people from worshiping the Lord God of Israel to another heathen god, an idol. And so there probably were people who had served the Lord God of Israel during this time in spite of their evil leadership. And if you are a student of history, you know that there have been times where it seemed like the leadership was totally evil, but there were still people living who worship and serve the true God, but we don't read about them. They don't make the history books. We know that the Church of God has always survived times of persecution, times of corruption. And this year, we will celebrate the 500 years since the Reformation. And so we know that the Reformation was one of those times when the church came out of a time of corruption and of difficulty. But here, we have Elijah. And Elijah was given a mission. And Elijah was ready and willing to do whatever it was that God had for him to do. Elijah had a great faith in God. Now, Elijah is not one of those people who's listed in Hebrews 11. But Elijah is an example of faith for us. And he's an example of faith for us because he prayed earnestly in faith. He performed his mission in faith. He permitted God to put him in a time of exile, as we read here today. And he also had a painful trial by faith. And this morning we want to talk about Elijah's prayer, and we want to talk about how he performed his mission in faith. We read in James 5 the following. Then James is describing the prayer of a righteous person, he says, has great power as it is working. And then he says, for example, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was like us. He's just an ordinary person. And he prayed fervently. And some translations say he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore in fruit. And so Elijah had an earnest prayer, and he was a man just like we are. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. He had faith in God, and James is using him as an example of the power of prayer, of earnest prayer. We're saying it still is an extraordinary thing, which it is. But thinking about Elijah himself, why would Elijah pray to God that it wouldn't rain? Wouldn't a drought cause suffering? Perhaps some people would die of starvation because a drought of 3 years was a very long time. And if you don't have food, you might die. We read in James 5:17 that Elijah was human. He was like us. He had a nature like us. Don't you think he would have been sympathetic to the people, especially if he was a prophet to the people, that he would have been concerned for their welfare? And wouldn't he have known the negative impacts of a famine? And those are legitimate questions. We'll say, well, how or why was Elijah motivated to pray for no rain? There's two answers to that question. First of all, Elijah was very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. We read in 1 Kings 19, verse 10, and he's speaking to God at that time, and he says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. And Elijah wanted to see God glorified. He wanted to see the Lord God served in the country of Israel. And instead, he saw the people didn't know their Bibles, the Pentateuch at that time. They didn't worship God correctly. They worshiped idols. He saw that they put prophets to death, and they had no regard for the covenant that God had established with the people of Israel. They were Israelites, after all, and God was their God. Elijah wanted to see God's glory restored and the people serving the God that they belonged to. And the people were worshiping Baal. And Baal was an idol who came from another country. And the people believed that Baal controlled the harvest. And so they would pray to Baal to give them a good harvest. They would pray to Baal to give them the refreshing rains that they needed for their fields. They would pray for Baal not to send severe weather to them. And that's what the people were doing. And he wanted to illustrate that God, the God of Israel, was more powerful than the Baal that they were serving. That's why when he spoke to Ahab, he made it very clear that it wasn't just him who was speaking. He wanted to make it very clear that he said, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, he's not dead. He's the God of Israel who you should be serving. There's not going to be any rain until I say it's going to rain. That's what Elijah was doing. He wanted the God of Israel to be vindicated in front of King Ahab and for all the people in Israel. But there was a second reason Elijah spoke these words. And that was, Elijah had a true love for Israel, those people who were called the children of God. They had wandered away from God. They needed to be called back. And Elijah didn't try to bring the people back to God through acts of terrorism, saying, God wants to punish you, and he had a terrorist event. He didn't try to eliminate the evil in the land by tearing down all of Baal's altars and all of the worship places for all these idols. No, he said, God is going to do something different. He is going to withhold his hand of grace from the people of Israel by not providing the rain that you want, that you think that this God, Baal, is going to provide you. Elijah deliberately called on God to bring hardship on the people of Israel so that they would know that the idols that they were worshiping could not control the weather and the conditions that they needed for a good harvest. And he wanted those people to come to the conclusion that Baal was not a God who could control the weather and their harvest, but it was the God that they used to serve, or their forefathers served, the God of Israel who controlled the weather and the harvest. He wanted them to figure it out. We read in Hebrews 4, verse 16, he wanted the people to come before God so that they would receive mercy and find grace in their time of need. And lastly, Elijah didn't just come up with this message by himself. Elijah knew that God would be glorified and that the people would come back to God because he was inspired. He was led by God to make this proclamation. He didn't make it up on his own. God worked in him, told him to go to Ahab so that it would be told to all the people that God was withholding the rain from the land. I would think that when Elijah was instructed by God, he thought back and he thought of some other instances where this kind of thing happened. We read about Moses. Moses boldly went to Pharaoh. And not just once did he go to Pharaoh. He went to Pharaoh many times and told Pharaoh, let our people go. And if you don't, here's what's going to happen. Elijah probably thought he was going to be something like Moses, this wonderful leader who led the people out of the land of Egypt into the country of Israel. Maybe he thought about David. And David, remember, he went to visit his brothers. And when he visited his brothers, he saw this giant Goliath confronting the troops. And the troops were really pretty scared of Goliath. And David was inspired by God to say, I'll fight him. And here was David, a shepherd boy, went out to fight with Goliath. Without putting on his armor, just with the tools that he had in his hand, the slingshot, and David was able to bring Goliath down with the tools that he had, being inspired by the word of God. Elijah had faith in God because he knew that God had inspired Moses, God had inspired David. He knew his history. He knew how God had protected the nation of Israel in the past. We know that Elijah's supernatural strength of character, his boldness, did not come from within himself, but they came because he was indwelt by God, by the Spirit of God. We read in Isaiah 40, verse 29, he gives power to the faint. So if Elijah had any fears, he had the power. And to them who has no might, he increases their strength. We too at times have seen great injustices. We have seen the glory of God being pulled down. And there are those who have been given boldness and strength to confront unrighteousness and to confront evil. Those don't come necessarily from within a person, but they come because they have a love and a desire for God to be glorified. They want people to serve the God of Israel, who is our God. So Elijah prayed earnestly in faith. But Elijah performed his mission in faith. As soon as Elijah delivered his announcement to King Ahab, that is, that it wasn't going to rain, we find that the word of God came to him again, and he was told to hide by the brook Cherith. And it seems like God did not tell Elijah, here's the plan. You're going to go to Ahab. You're going to tell him that it's not going to rain. You're going to tell him in my name it's not going to rain. And then you're going to go and hide over by the brook Cherith. And then after that, you're going to go to Zarephath. And then after that, you're going to confront the prophets of Baal. That's not what God did. God said, go and confront King Ahab. And then we read, then God, the word of God, came to Elijah and told him to go and hide yourself by the brook Cherish. Now, Elijah was not participating in one of those scavenger hunts that people like to play, where you look for a clue and the clue tells you where the next clue is going to be and you keep following the clues until you find the prize at the end. Or I watched this TV show at one time, The Amazing Race, where all the contestants are given a place that they need to go or something they need to perform until they finally get to the end and maybe win a prize, that kind of thing. That's not what Elijah was doing. He was not waiting for God to give him the next clue. He was following the word of God, and this was real life. And these are real issues of life and death. And so Elijah was showing his faith in God by following the mission that had been given to him by God in the complete confidence that he was going to complete what God had given him to do. And he was assured by God that his mission was going to be successful. He had faith in God, that God was going to do what he told him to do, and he was going to follow God wherever God led him. There are times when we need to obey God without knowing the possible consequences. We might have to speak up at a time where we don't know if we're going to put ourselves in jeopardy. We might lose our job. We might get thrown in jail. We might have some other terrible consequence. Our safety might be put into jeopardy. But we can always be assured that when we stand up for righteousness and when we are in the will of God, doing what God wants us to do, and even if we don't know what is going to happen, God does know what's going to happen. And whatever happens is in the will of God. We read in Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Those are the words of God. And so when we're in those times of difficulty, when we're worried about what's going to happen, fear not. God is holding you in his righteous hand. That's what God does for us. That's what Elijah was doing. He was held in God's hand. He knew that when he was going to confront the king, the consequences could have been death. Instead, God said, no, go hide yourself. Go to the brook Cherish. We also have to consider something else from this passage. It is likely that Elijah thought that after he made this proclamation before Ahab, that he could have began a preaching tour of all the towns and villages of Israel. And what would have he done in that preaching tour? He would have said, you are Israelites, and you have a God, and your God is the Lord God, Jehovah. And he would have said, here's what God has covenanted with you. And he would have said, you're sinning by serving Baal. And he would have moved from town to town. And that would have been a wonderful story to include in our Bible. And maybe we could have read how King Ahab sent his army after Elijah and how he escaped from the army of Ahab. And how he made his way around Ahab's army. And it would have been some wonderful stories of the faith of Elijah that are in the Bible. kind of like David when he was trying to flee Saul. We don't have those stories in the Bible. We don't have a story how Elijah called his people to repentance through a tour through Israel. We're told that God sent Elijah into hiding at the brook Cherish. Elijah didn't even have to guess what God wanted him to do after he confronted Ahab. Elijah was told by God what to do because God spoke very plainly and clearly to Elijah. And it was most likely very different than what Elijah expected. It's not something that we would have planned for Elijah. And there are times for us when God's ways are different than our ways. How many times have we planned to do something and then circumstances occurred? Illness, conditions changed. We just couldn't get it together. Something happened that caused us to change our plans. Sometimes we can tell that this was a restraining hand of God upon our lives, and that God had planned something better for us. And sometimes we don't know why God has done something, especially when someone near to us has suddenly died or our fortunes have been reversed. And when that happens, we turn in our Bibles and we turn to Romans 8. 28. And we read this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, even when we don't see that good. We know at times we need to obey God without knowing the possible consequences. But we can be assured that even though we don't know what is going to happen, God does know. And whatever happens is in His will. We read in Proverbs, where the writer of Proverbs gives us some directions. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." That's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And perhaps Elijah was thinking to himself, or in retrospect, was thinking of Father Abraham. We know that Abraham had a call. God said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And Abraham started traveling. And we don't read about what Abraham was thinking as he was traveling almost 1,000 miles. But we wonder, when Abraham went over a ridge and looked down into the next valley, whether he thought, "Is this where God wants me to stay? Is this where I'm supposed to go?" And when he got in the valley, it was like God said, "Keep going," until he came to the land of Canaan. And when Abraham got to the land of Canaan, he knew that's where God wanted him to go. Elijah probably thought about Abraham and saying God directed Abraham and he traveled all that distance and he didn't know where he was going. And so God is telling me to go to this brook. I guess I'll go to the brook. God will let me know where I'm supposed to go after that. Elijah had great faith in God. He didn't do what he was inclined to want to do. He did what God directed him to do. He followed God's fellowship. Elijah was a man of action, and God told him to hide. And we have things that happen, and we are people of action, and we want to do things. But we have to remember this, that God is always doing good for us. When we think about it, God was doing good for us from the moment we were born to the very date that we were saved. And he's going to continue to do good for us until the day that we die and we are in eternity. In fact, I would like to call this, there is a continuum of good being done for us. And so we can't fall out of the goodness of God. We always have been within the goodness of God. And so whatever happens today is part of God's goodness for us. And so Elijah was within the goodness of God. God did what was good for him, just as he is doing what is good for you. Even if it seems very bleak and dark to you, God is still doing good for you. That's what God is to each one of us, a good God doing good things for his people whom he loves. That's what God is doing for us. God has called us for a purpose, and that is not a purpose for us. It's a purpose that is according to his will. It is his purpose. What happens to us is always purposeful and is not by chance. Elijah performed his mission having faith in God. He performed his mission by praying earnestly to God. And then he obeyed God carefully and perfectly. And we pray that as you go through your lives, that you will hear the word of God, and that he will help you in all your ways. But remember that you are in that continuum of goodness. You are in the goodwill of God. Shall we close?